Yes, a warm welcome to Tuesday's Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Hello, how are you? We're not live. This is brand new, but it isn't live. I recorded this early this afternoon. Said I wouldn't have a program today, but never one to be lazy. As I'm away in the evening, I put together a program for you this afternoon, which I think you'll find very interesting indeed. He says arrogantly, I think you'll find it interesting. Today is Tuesday, the 28th of November 2017. My name is Richie Allen. Welcome to your Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Thank you for joining me.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to DavidIke.com/headlines now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. It's the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with DavidIke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Right, it isn't live then, as we've established, but it's brand new. Hope you're well. You can tweet the programme. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. I won't see those tweets till the very late evening, but do tweet amongst one another to follow what people are saying as they listen to the programme. You need only put Richie Allen Show, all one word, in Twitter and press enter. That's Richie Allen Show, and you'll see what other people are tweeting. The programme is, of course, right now, broadcasting on DavidIke.com, on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and on TuneIn Radio. It is Tuesday, November 28th. It's a very, very cold day in Manchester. But as I do this, and I do this at what time is it? It's coming up for 20 minutes to 2 in the afternoon. It's bright, at least, and it isn't raining. But it is chilly out there. So then, we'll crack on. I said I think you'll find the programme very interesting. I think you will. It's varied. A lot of very interesting things I've been reading and listening to today, and I'm going to share some of those things with you now. As usual, what I talk about on these programmes, most of, all of, covered in great depth on DavidIke.com. Do bookmark DavidIke.com and check out these stories. Most of which are not covered in any depth or even covered at all on commercial or national radio. So I had a chat with David this morning, actually. We were chatting about his event in Maastricht on Saturday, which was a very, very well-attended event, and it went really well. A lot of interest in David's work around Europe, of course, as well as everywhere else. But that event, of course, was under great pressure from external forces, these ultra-Zionist, fascist, let's be honest about it, forces, who wanted to stop that event going ahead. And I alluded to this briefly on last night's programme, and I said what was very distressing for me was that some of those working most ardently to prevent the event going ahead were actually journalists, which is disgraceful. I won't labour the point. I said it last night on the programme. Now, David sent me an article this morning about Roger Waters, of course, the legendary Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, and it's about free speech. And Roger Waters, of course, is coming under increasing pressure. His events, like David's events, like Gilad Atzmon's events and others, coming under extreme pressure. This on DavidIke.com today by way of RT. Two regional state-funded German stations will no longer promote and cover local concerts of Pink Floyd frontman Roger Waters, known for his anti-Israel views, after public complaints and a petition. Eh? A petition. Malka Goldstein-Wolf, a Jewish resident of Cologne, wrote to WDR, the regional subsidiary of national broadcaster ARD, critiquing Waters' support of the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions campaign. We know this, of course, as the BDS campaign, which aims to isolate Israel through economic and political means over its treatment of Palestinians. Now, this person, Malka Goldstein-Wolf, wrote, "Will WDR actually support the new do not buy from Jews, a Nazi era slogan, and use state money to do so, she wrote. And she started the online petition that gathered 1,500 votes, which is pitiful. 1,500 votes is pathetic. In a city the size of Cologne, give me a break. Now, it got coverage in local Jewish newspapers, and then the campaign was picked up by national media, and she in fact spoke with Bild, and she said that in her opinion there had been a move towards accepting the hatred of Jews in German society. Now, I'm getting sick to the back fucking teeth of people like Goldstein, Wolf, saying that you support the boycott, divestment and sanctions moment is not saying you hate Jews. It is putting pressure on the ultra-Zionist Israeli government to stop the settlements, to stop torturing children, to stop arresting people for throwing stones, to stop the blockade, and to stop the almost biannual aerial bombardment of Gaza by Israeli planes. That's what Roger Waters wants to stop. It's not about hating Jews. Sadly, The director of WDR Media, Tom Buroff, gave in and said the station was cutting off its official partnership. This is dreadful. Dreadful. That a handful of idiots, anti-free speech zealots, can bring about such tyranny. Now, Roger Waters spoke to RT some months ago about this issue. I've got some audio here for you. A bit of a clip there. And at the time, he began by saying that Radiohead's lead singer Tom York is wrong to play Israel. And not only that, but York is wrong to say that playing in Israel is not the same as endorsing Israel's policies. This is Roger Waters.
Tom York is wrong about not endorsing the policies of the Israeli government by playing there. Spokespersons of that government have said how excited they are that this is the best thing that's happened for their Hasbara, which is the explaining to the rest of the world what a wonderful and precious democracy Israel is. And willy-nilly, when they cross the picket line, they are making a public statement that they do endorse the policies of the government, whatever they say, because that is what will be reported in Israel and that is what gets reported around the world. Civil society in Palestine in 2005 started the BDS movement themselves. This isn't something imposed by a bunch of foreign rock musicians. This is something that they started, that they have organized, and they have made an appeal to all artists, writers, musicians, actors, directors, anybody in the rest of the world to observe the picket line which they have drawn and to ask us not to to observe a cultural boycott of the country.
You're one of the most beloved rock stars of a generation. You're very vocal, outspoken, and I would say you're fairly accessible. Why don't we hear from you on mainstream media or on popular late night television shows?
I'm told that they can't answer that question, but that it comes from above. I was told that by Charlie Rose, not directly, but by his producer. Why isn't Roger on Charlie Rose anymore? We're not quite sure, but it comes from above.
Did that change
after
you?
So you can figure it out for yourself. It's not rocket science.
It isn't rocket science. And if you listened to last night's programme, you'd have heard Rowan Somerville, the author, former head of MTV Europe, former head of BBC Entertainment, former Channel 4, has written this very powerful human story about Palestine and Israel and a terrorist attack and a heart transplant. It's incredible. Wonderful story. He gave it to every publisher in this country. And they came back to him and said, oh, we really like the book, but, you know, it comes across as a little bit anti-Israel. If it was more pro-Israel, the book would have been published. This is the tyranny we live in. Roger Waters is right. The Palestinians, in the absence of international imposed sanctions on Israel, because there is none, nobody wants to talk about sanctioning Israel back to the fucking Stone Age, which we should do. So the Palestinians have said, please don't do business with Israel. And I agree with that. Now, Rowan Somerville said last night on the programme, the sad thing about this is ordinary Israelis who don't support the settlements and who don't support the midnight kidnapping of Palestinian children will suffer. But that's the way it's got to be. I would never buy anything that has been made in Israel or that profits Israeli businesses. Never. However, I wouldn't tell anybody else what to do. I never have done. That's my decision. I don't tell my listeners, oh, you should do the same. You do whatever your conscience tells you to do. Israel is a brutal apartheid state, committing human rights violations every minute of every day, ignoring international law, detaining and torturing children. Not to mention the fact that its intelligence agency, Mossad, is at the heart of regime change activities overseas. Mass murder. It's a vile regime, the Zionist government of Israel. Vile. Did you see this today, by the way? Speaking of the vile Israeli government. This, again, RT covering this. In the absence of anybody else covering it, but this is all true, Israeli MPs have backed a law to prevent police from publishing recommendations on whether to charge criminal suspects, with those allowing leaks facing jail. If you ever heard tyranny summed up in an open paragraph, opening paragraph, there it is. The Israeli PM Netanyahu is currently being investigated for corruption, and it turns out he'll be the main beneficiary of this new law. The bill, which would curb the powers of the police to consult with the federal attorney over pressing charges in individual cases, was passed by Israeli lawmakers in its first reading last night. The bill will be streamlined and will pass the Knesset, but it has been blasted by the opposition as being tailor-made to suit Benjamin Netanyahu, who's currently facing two corruption investigations. Yair Lapid, the leader of the opposition party, Yesh Atid, said they made sure that this law would apply to the Netanyahu investigations. It's a law made for a single person, said Yair Lapid, the leader of the opposition in Israel. What a guy Bibi Netanyahu is. This is the regime that talks about other regimes, that talks about Iran and other countries, benign countries, benign in terms of their foreign policy. Iran does some brutal things. Various religious leaders operating in Iran oversee brutal things that happen to people, which are terrible, and I would never endorse them. But externally, the Iranians are no threat to anybody. Moving on. Oh, wait till you hear this. Wait till you hear this. The European Union has decided to prolong the European license for Monsanto's glyphosate weed killer for 5 years, with the support of Germany. However, the French President Emmanuel Macron vowed to ban glyphosate in France within 3 years. Now, this is what Emmanuel Macron said. He said, I have asked the government to take the necessary measures for the use of glyphosate to be banned in France as soon as alternatives are found, and at the latest in 3 years, Macron said on Twitter, supplementing the statement with the hashtag Make Our Planet Great Again. Macron made this announcement following the tight vote in Brussels, where the EU prolonged the license for the controversial substance for 5 years. This vote happened yesterday, and it's been reported that it ended months of indecisiveness. 18 out of 28 European countries approved the extension of the usage of the chemical. The European Commission could, in theory, extend the license by itself, but it said it wanted the member states themselves to decide the controversial issue. So what happened yesterday was the EU extended the license of a carcinogenic weed killer, which does cause cancer in people and in animals. It really does. There is no debate to be had about this. This shit is carcinogenic. This is some sort of weird, parallel universe of madness that we're living in. when this can happen? And even the Rothschilds man, Macron, can say, well, no, this shit is carcinogenic. I would say to Emmanuel Macron, why try to ban it within 3 years while you find an alternative? How about banning it now and not spraying chemical shit on plants and on crops anyway, full stop, right? I mean, glyphosate is deadly. It's lunacy. And not only that, but the EU and the rest of the world knows that it is carcinogenic. And scientists have declared it thus. We saw what happened in California. It's deadly. I can't say it enough. Here's a laugh. You might have come across this before, you might not. Patrick Moore is a pro-GM food lobbyist. Now, he was asked by a Canal Plus reporter a couple of years ago to drink a glass of water with glyphosate mixed into it, and he refused. Now, Patrick Moore is not a Monsanto employee, bear that in mind, but he is an apologist for Monsanto. This is quite amusing, in case you never came across it.
I do not believe that glyphosate in Argentina is causing increases in cancer. You can drink a whole quart of it and it won't hurt you.
You want to drink some? We have some here.
I'd be happy to, actually. But you, not really, but...
Not really?
I know it wouldn't hurt me.
If you say so, I have some glyphosate.
No, I'm not stupid.
Ah, okay, so you...
No, but I know...
So
that,
it's dangerous,
I
right?
Know, no, people try to commit suicide with it and fail fairly regularly.
Tell the truth.
It's not dangerous to humans. No, it's not.
So are you ready to drink one glass of glyphosate?
No, I'm not an idiot. Interview me about golden rice. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, then it's finished. Then the interview is finished.
That's a good way to solve things.
Yeah. You're a complete jerk.
You're a jerk, man. Get that shit out of here. My God, man, do you think I'm stupid? Hilarious. You can drink a quart of it and you'll be fine. People tried to commit suicide and failed. Yeah, I'll drink it. Yeah, I'll drink it. No, I won't. You think I'm stupid? Glyphosate, Roundup, Monsanto. Monsanto's products are designed to biologically alter the very fabric of who we are, down to our DNA. That is who this company is. It really is. And I'm not going to waste too much time talking about it because I've interviewed so many people on the program over the years. It is the devil incarnate, this company. They have managed through bribery, through God knows what other means, I'm not going to speculate, but we know through bribery, to get the European Union to roll this out for another 5 years, even though it is known that it causes cancer in people and in animals. Madness. Madness. Shall we move on? Let's move on. You're with the Richie Allen Show for Tuesday, the 28th of November, 2017. Pre-recorded programme, did it early, but it's brand new. Here's a massive story. Now, I did see InfoWars, to their credit, covered this on at the weekend just gone, but it hasn't gotten a lot of coverage elsewhere. I wanted to get into it last night on the programme, but I didn't have time. But we'll get into it today. As best as we can anyway. Again, if you are an InfoWars watcher, you would have seen this over the weekend. If not, maybe you're not familiar with it. But a former Secret Service agent is saying that Bill Clinton, former president, of course, of the United States, was on at least 20 private flights with convicted paedophile billionaire Jeffrey Epstein. This is massive. The flights on Epstein's private plane have been called the Lolita Express. Now, the former Secret Service agent, whose name is Dan Bongina, Bongina got into a Twitter exchange last Friday with a former Clinton aide. And the argument escalated to the point that Dan Bongina threatened to release information which would expose Messiah Hillary Clinton and her husband, the former President Bill Clinton. So this guy is alleging that Clinton was on at least 20 of these private flights with convicted paedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Here's RT's Mike Papantonio with his take on the story. Hugely interesting, this.
Well, it is. This is a story that is so underreported, Ed. In absolute secret, the U.S. government negotiated a deal that forgave multi-billionaire Jeff Epstein for procuring sex with about 40 children. Some as young as 12 years old were trafficked from other countries to other countries. The deal that allowed Epstein to serve only 13 months in a special private wing of the Palm Beach jail where he was allowed to leave every day for 16 hours. Basically, he only slept there. It carried the possibility for everybody else who wasn't a billionaire, life in prison. Epstein's private pilot, Larry Vysocki, in addition to all this, came forward and said that he had flown Bill Clinton around on the same jet at the same time with underage girls that Epstein had on his jet. In fact, Bill Clinton's name shows up on logs that have been forwarded to me 20 times. Bill Clinton's name 20 times during times when some of these girls were on board. The Epstein team also ordered private investigations by the truckload to harass, threaten, and offer money to families in exchange for non-cooperation with the investigation. So a lawyer down in South Florida, who I've worked with so many times, very, very talented trial lawyer, has brought a lawsuit demanding the case be reopened, because the disgusting plea deal that was made by the government violated the Crime Victims Rights Act when it made a plea deal with Epstein without informing anybody about what was going on with this billionaire. So now they're going to be permitted to take discovery that the feds and the state prosecutors have failed to do when they gave Epstein this cover. Epstein hired women who'd go out and actively recruit underage girls for Epstein. Epstein would bring high-profile guests to private islands, St. James Island. The case goes on, and it's amazing that there's been no discussion about Bill Clinton being on this jet 20 times.
Well, 20 times on a jet where underage girls are present and visiting islands and stuff. It's obviously massive. But it's also no surprise that outside of RT and outside of InfoWars and outside of DavidIcke.com, nobody else is talking about this. The Clintons, the greatest crime family the United States has ever known, put the mythical Corleones to shame, the Al Capones of this world, the Bonanno family, the Gotti family, have nothing on the Clintons and what the Clintons have been into over the years. This is absolutely massive. Will it be devastating to Bill Clinton? Here's Mike Papantonio again.
This is already there. There's already been sworn affidavits by the pilots who actually swore that Bill Clinton was on the same jet with Epstein, on the same jet with the women who procure underage girls for Epstein, on the same jet where there were actually some of the girls that were being transported. So this case is just, this is just starting. These lawyers down in South Florida handling this are very capable.
Yeah, see books written by David Icke going back years about who the Clintons are. It's unbelievable, this, to most people. Of course, to people in mainstream media land, lots of folk fraternise with convicted paedophile Jeffrey Epstein, Richard Branson, and of course Prince Andrew, whose brother Charles was Jimmy Savile's best mate. Amazingly, that when all the Jimmy Savile stuff was in the daily news for so long, nobody mentioned, at least on mainstream media, that Prince Charles was thick as thieves with Jimmy Savile. Am I saying that Prince Charles did anything? Am I saying that Richard Branson or Prince Andrew did anything? No, I am not. But they must be interviewed under caution. They spent time with a disgusting paedophile. They were on his planes. They spent time on his island, or on islands used by him. They must be asked about their whereabouts concerning these flights with these women who procured underage girls for Epstein. It is only right that they be asked these questions. But of course they won't be. Tuesday's Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIcke.com. Very quick break, back in a minute.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
has a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalize, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Complete your 100% online course at creativeimaginings.com.au.
Book launches are often hyped. Then you open the first page and... But David Icke's new book, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, really will astonish you. Thought-provoking and controversial, it's available now, so read a real page-turner. Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, by former footballer and presenter David Icke. Available exclusively at davidicke.com.
You're listening to The Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com.
And some terrific information on davidicke.com today. Stories about neural implants for the safety of children. Extraordinary stuff this. We talked briefly yesterday about DARPA and its work putting neural implants into the heads of former soldiers, veterans and stuff like this. All of this now is gathering pace. Okay, see David's latest book, Everything You Need to Know. See Phantom Self. See the Perception Deception and so on, so on, so on. All of this stuff is coming to the surface now. This is your Richie Allen Show. We're on Fab Radio 2 this evening. Tune in radio and davidicke.com. It isn't live. I'm not here. Well, I'm here. But it's not live. I recorded this a little bit earlier on today because of an engagement. An engagement. Sounds very official. An engagement that I have this evening. I'm somewhere else right now. Mad stuff, right? I tell you. Here's a story. In the Times of London today, the UK Times newspaper, the Times. It's okay to beat your wife, says Islamic school book. Written by Rachel Sylvester. We'll hear from Rachel in a minute. I'll read you some of the story. Library books, which urge women to be submissive to their husbands and never refuse sex, are among a dossier of misogynistic material inspectors have found in Islamic schools. Ofsted has compiled a file of the worst examples of discrimination and sexism its inspectors encountered. The material includes excerpts from library books and children's marked work which sanction domestic violence. Among the worst examples was a book discovered in a school library entitled Women Who Deserve to Go to Hell, which said that it was wrong for wives to show ingratitude to their husband or have tall ambitions. Now, Ofsted, which is the UK educational regulatory body, said the material it collected was out of step with mainstream Muslim thinking and came from maintained schools as well as independent faith schools and unregistered schools. One school Ofsted visited encouraged children to read a text that contrasted the noble women of the East with the internally torn woman of the West, who attracts men and leaves her home to hang around aimlessly in cinemas and cafes. I'll come back to that in a minute. Other library books insisted that in a Muslim marriage, the wife is not allowed to refuse sex to her husband or leave the house where she lives without his permission, while boys and girls were taught that the man, by way of correction, can also beat her. Work marked by teachers stated that women had a responsibility only to bear children and bring them up as Muslims. Ofsted Insider said the books and writings made for uncomfortable reading. Well, in light of the grooming gangs that have operated in this country, and in light of what we were told on this programme about those grooming gangs and how they saw Western women and English women, right, it's very interesting to read that passage about how Western women are seen, at least in terms of some of these schools, the noble women of the East, as opposed to the internally torn woman of the West who hangs around aimlessly in cinemas and cafes. These grooming gangs, these young men, saw these women as fallen and saw them as fair game, didn't they? It's all relevant, this. Now, Rachel Sylvester, who wrote that article in Today's Times, spoke this morning with Sky News, and this is what Rachel Sylvester had to say. Listen to this.
And there's some really quite shocking cases of things in the libraries of these schools, including state-funded schools, saying, you know, it's okay for men to beat their wives, women should stay indoors, men are the masters. There's one called Women Who Go to Hell, criticising particularly those with tall ambitions. And I just think for Muslim girls, particularly who are going to those schools, it's completely unacceptable for them to have that sort of literature offered to them and encouraged to read.
On one level, shocking though these revelations are, the fact that Ofsted have found them, made them public, to some degree shows that the regulatory system is working. The bigger question, I suppose, is how widespread is this beyond what Ofsted has seen, and then what to do about it?
Exactly. And I think the problem also is that the government has a policy at the moment of encouraging the creation of religious schools, faith-based schools, but they don't seem to have completely got a grip of what's going on in them.
Do you think this is happening in other faith schools, Rachel?
Pardon? Well, Ofsted has also found some examples, I think, in a small number of Jewish schools. But the biggest problems have been, as I understand, in the Islamic schools. But we don't have a fully comprehensive database as yet. But I think what Louise Casey was saying, and I think she's absolutely right, is the government should at the very least halt the creation of new faith schools until we know exactly how widespread this problem is and make sure that equality really is being taught in all schools.
Now, I wouldn't agree with halting the creation of faith schools. I wouldn't agree with that, because that's got implications for free speech. But I would watch them and I would challenge them. I would speak up against it. And if I was the police, I would be very interested in textbooks being disseminated amongst young children where it is said it's acceptable to beat your wife. You see, that's tantamount to inciting people to beat their wives and to beat women. Now, you see, progressives shit the bed, literally. And they say, oh, this is Islamophobia. Ofsted, it's Islamophobia. It's unfair. You know, the Muslims of the UK are under attack. They're the victims. No, there are serious problems in some sections of some communities where this sort of crazy shit is accepted. There is. And it's been ignored by the progressive media, and people who have attempted to talk about this have been, you know, shot down and labelled as Islamophobic or bigoted. This is dangerous. Minority cultures taking precedence over majority cultures in terms of the way they are treated by the law. See my interview with Frank Ferrady from the University of Kent. It's on YouTube. This is serious. It's going on. I accept that in the vast majority. Well, how do I know? I believe my experiences of living in a community where there are Muslims and Sikhs and Jews, Christians, everybody where I live, it's certainly multicultural. Whether it's a good thing or not, that's for you to decide. I've made my mind up on it a long time ago. But what we do see, and what I do see, is I don't see people operating like that. You know, I see Pakistani families where I see there's a very strong matriarch. So there wouldn't be any evidence of men, you know, beating their wives or telling them what to do. I'm not saying it's the majority, but it is happening. And there's a big Saudi Arabian influence. We'll talk more about that in a second. Now, today, RT's Laura Smith reported for RT on two radicalisation cases, one here and one in Denmark. And I think it is linked intrinsically to that report in the Times today about the schools. Listen to Laura Smith from RT.
There are two stories in the European media on Tuesday which show just that, that younger minds are falling victim to radicalisation. The first one is over in Denmark, a Danish girl, a Muslim convert, who was convicted of planning to bomb two Copenhagen schools. Police found bomb-making equipment in her home, and they also found writings expressing sympathy for Islamic State. She's 17 now. She was just 15, though, when she was arrested for these plans. Police say that evidence indicated that she planned to bomb her own former primary school as well as a nearby Jewish school. The High Court recently extended her sentence from 6 to 8 years in view, they said, of her age and the nature of the crimes that she was planning. Another one is a bit closer to home. A 17-year-old boy in Wales found guilty of planning to ram a car into a crowd in the city of Cardiff. He apparently had several venues for this attack under consideration, one of which was a shopping centre. Another was a Justin Bieber concert, so reminiscent of the teen concert that we saw attacked in Manchester earlier this year. In his bedroom, they found a martyrdom letter in which he said that he was a soldier of the Islamic State, also a large knife and a hammer in a bag. Police say that he was planning an attack a bit similar to the Westminster attack, in which a man in a van rammed a crowd on Westminster Bridge and then got out and stabbed a police officer. He posted ISIL propaganda on Instagram, and his Instagram password, believe it or not, was truck attack.
Truck attack was the Instagram password. Now, again, these aren't, you know, there aren't dozens and dozens and dozens or even hundreds of these cases. Maybe it's because I don't want to believe that there are so many young men and young women out there looking to do something. But what I do believe is, I do believe that this is a problem. It's not necessarily Islamic State propaganda online. It is local men affiliated with mosques, not necessarily the imam of these mosques. A minority, I believe, but it is happening. And many of these guys with links to Saudi Arabia, this is true. It's been revealed. However, it is totally underreported in this country. Serious stuff. And people have been reluctant to talk about it for fear of attacks by the progressives. You know, you're bigoted, you're hateful, and all of that garbage. But it is going on. That Rachel Sylvester story in the Times today, very well written, responsible journalism. What will happen as a result of it? What will happen to these schools that are saying it's okay to beat women and all that sort of stuff? Well, we'll have to wait and see. It's the Richie Allen Show for the 28th, is it? It is the 28th of November, Tuesday, on Fab Radio 2, davidike.com and TuneIn Radio. Great to be with you today. This is a pre-recorded program. Back to live two-hour programs, of course, tomorrow, Wednesday. But did this today in lieu of the fact that I am away Tuesday night while you're listening to this. We're going to take another very short break. When we come back, there's some interesting news on the UK's decision to leave the European Union. Back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalize, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Complete your 100% online course at www.creativeimaginings.com.au.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Book launches are often hyped. Then you open the first page and... But David Icke's new book, Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, really will astonish you. Thought-provoking and controversial, it's available now, so read a real page-turner. Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told, by former footballer and presenter David Icke. Available exclusively at davidicke.com.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now. Richie Allen.
Welcome back live. Well, we're not live, but the program is going out on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and TuneIn Radio. My name is Richie Allen. Hope you're well this Tuesday. Hope you've had a good day. And the week is going okay for you. Right, a little bit about Brexit then. I purposely didn't start with this. I left it towards the end because I think you're probably sick to the back teeth of hearing about it. I am mindful of that, you know. I have been doing this job a long time. And I'm aware that you can overkill stories, but we have to talk about it because it's very serious. It has huge implications, of course, for civilization, for humanity going forward. It really does. Now, the UK's banks could cope if Britain left the EU with no deal, according to the Bank of England. The Bank of England has called leaving with no deal. They've called it a disorderly Brexit. It's a disorderly Brexit, dear boy. For the first time since the financial crisis, all of the UK's biggest lenders have passed the bank's stress tests. The tests of adverse economic scenarios discover if the banks could continue to lend money to support the UK economy. Mark Carney, the Bank of England governor, said the banks would be able to cope with the stress of a no deal, even though Carney said it's an unlikely event. Carney said that all parties were working to avoid the situation, but warned if the UK did leave in a sharp, disorderly way, there would be some economic pain for households and for businesses. The worst-case scenario the bank imagined in the stress tests included a 33% fall in house prices, a rise in interest rates from 0.5% to 4% within 2 years, and the unemployment rate rising to 9.5% from its current rate of 4.3%. Now, what Mark Carney is doing today, and I'm going to get called sensational by saying this, but I know a little bit about finance. It's the only thing I really know anything about, you know, from their point of view. I'm not being modest, but from their point of view, I understand their system. What Carney is doing is he's both threatening the people of the United Kingdom and he's promising them what is coming. Because a rise in interest rates to 4% within the next 2 years will collapse the UK economy and plunge us into a recession far worse than the manufactured recession and the manufactured crisis of 2008. That's what they're planning on doing, you see. I'm blaming it on not just blaming it on Brexit, but blaming it on many other factors. That's what they do. And that's what they plan on doing. So it's interesting that on the one hand, Carney is appearing to say things which would suit those who want to leave the European Union, me included. We want out completely. We want out today. Today. No deal, no discussion. Today we should be out. So what Carney is saying seems to be good news, but it's a massive threat of what's coming down the line. I wouldn't trust Mark Carney to tell me the time in a room full of clocks, which is Ikey's old adage. Very interesting story. Watch that one closely. We'll talk more about that later in the week and in future programmes. But this is interesting. Today, the shadow Brexit secretary, because each cabinet secretary, each government minister, we call them secretaries, as they do in the United States. In Ireland, they're called ministers. Here, they're called secretaries. Each secretary has a shadow in the opposition party. Keir Starmer is the shadow Brexit secretary. He warned this morning. Now, this story is fluid, by the way, so by the time you hear this, there would have been changes. But Starmer warned this morning that David Davis could be in contempt of Parliament after the government handed over heavily edited analyses on the impact of leaving the European Union to a select committee. On Tuesday, today, The Guardian writes, Starmer accused the government of withholding information on how leaving the EU will affect 58 industrial sectors, after it previously promised to give the Brexit Committee these documents in an unedited and unredacted form. Davis has given 800 pages of analysis to the Brexit Committee after being forced to do so by Parliament. But MPs have accused him of leaving out politically embarrassing information after he refused to include anything deemed to be market sensitive or that he said could damage the UK's negotiations with the EU27. Davis said the reason he withheld some of this information was because the committee had given him no assurances regarding how any information will be used. Okay? So Davis is saying, you're going to use this information to paint a false picture of what will happen after Brexit. Therefore, we're redacting some of the information. But the Remainers are absolutely furious about this. This was Keir Starmer speaking to Sky News earlier. I swallowed a fly. This is the shadow Brexit secretary, Keir Starmer, speaking with Sky News today.
We've always accepted that anything that genuinely would undermine the negotiations should not be published, but the agreement in Parliament was that the documents would be handed to the Select Committee. The Select Committee would then decide whether any or all of it could be put into the public domain, and that's what Parliament voted on. The government didn't seek to amend that motion. They didn't vote against that motion, and it's only now that David Davis says, well, I'm not actually going to hand them over. And I think this is very serious, because even until yesterday, David Davis was saying that the documents that he has handed over now couldn't be seen by anybody. So there's a history here of the government sort of clinging on to documents, saying they can't be shared with anyone until they're prized out of them.
Are you worried that the papers have been suppressed because they could reveal Brexit might be disastrous for the economy?
Well, I don't know, obviously, what they might reveal. They are.
But you're getting very worked up about them when you haven't even seen them.
Well, of course, there are impact assessments that are really important. To criticise me for not knowing what's in them when I haven't seen them is a bit rich.
Ah, shut up, you tart. That's Keir Starmer, proper tart, the Brexit shadow Brexit secretary. David Davis is right, of course. You know, the committee wouldn't assure him that the information in the Brexit impact assessments would not be used by those wishing to stop the UK leaving and those who want to hinder the UK's negotiating strategy with the European Union. Now, later this morning, early this afternoon, one of David Davis's ministers, responding in Parliament to an urgent question from Starmer, said there would be a reading room and all members of Parliament on the committee could view the information unredacted, but it won't be published to the rest of the House. That might change by the time you hear this, but that was the latest. as I record this, it's coming up for, as I record this, it's coming up for 25 minutes past two in the afternoon. In the afternoon. However, the attempt to destroy Brexit continues. Sky News had Green Party leader Jonathan Bartley and Conservative Member of Parliament Crispin Blunt in for a debate about whether Brexit could be stopped or not. Now, this is very interesting. You see, nobody's asking, why is the BBC and Sky on alternate days regularly having debates with the question being, can it be stopped? Why do they keep doing that? Enough is e-fucking-nough. The result is in. 52-48, the people chose to leave. Why do they keep having these debates? Can it be stopped? How about fuck off? No, it's going ahead. We're leaving. This really boils my arse. It really does. You know, it really angers me. I have to restrain myself thinking about this, the tyranny of this. Constantly. Look, if you don't believe me, check them out. Every other day. Can Brexit be stopped? Well, joining me in the studio are Brexiteer Mrs. X and Remainer Mrs. Y. Can it be stopped? They're chipping away at it. Anyway, here you go. Jonathan Bartley from the Green Party. Crispin Blunt, Conservative MP who's in favour of leaving. Adam Bolton chairing this so-called debate.
The mandate was clear from the referendum to invoke Article 50, to negotiate, and then, you know, to get that
to
kind
leave.
Of deal.
The mandate
was to pursue. But if in what planet do you suddenly, you know, turn around and say, actually, we know this is going to be dreadful. We just seen Carney today coming out with the Bank of England stress tests. We've got Brexit being treated as if it were a financial crisis. I think within the hearts of leavers, you know, I'm quite unsure how leavers come out day after day, knowing in their heart of hearts how bad this is going to be for the country.
That's Jonathan Bartley, motherless arsehole, who's a Green Party, climate change nonsense guy, who's in favour of the European Union. Now, Adam Bolton should have jumped right into his throat with 2 feet when he mentioned Mark Carney and a stress test, when he mentioned it as an example of Brexit being a bad thing. Bolton should have said, well, hang on a second. What Carney actually said was the financial system of the country will be able to cope with a resulting negotiation or with the negotiations resulting in no deal. But Bolton doesn't jump in and lets him carry on.
Country and saying, no, it's all going to be fine. We know it's not going to be great.
Stop. This is the problem. Your side of the argument are still fighting the referendum. A decision was made in the referendum. The last referendum, as Adam pointed to, was over 40 years ago. And this is a decision for that kind of timescale. And the pluses and minuses of us leaving the European Union have to be seen in that kind of timescale.
Well,
the decision the British people took.
You do agree that Parliament is sovereign in this?
So, well, technically, but yeah. Parliament gave the sovereignty to the British people.
The choices the government is offering at the moment are either accept the deal we've negotiated or no deal and we leave anyway. Wouldn't the true situation be to give Parliament 3 options, the third being stay in?
No, because the decision has been taken to leave the European Union and Parliament has given notice we're going to leave the European Union.
Even if it were to turn up,
the choice is... Indeed, the campaign around the referendum included the warnings from the Remain side about the kind of consequences that we might have to cope with if our 27 partners do not come to an agreement.
You are simply saying, even if, and it's only hypothetical, you felt this looks bad, we're going to be in an extremely cold and damaging world after Brexit, you would still say Parliament shouldn't even have a chance to have second thoughts?
Yes, because the decision has been taken and all of those factors should have been and indeed were warned about and were factored into the decision that the British people took.
Yes, they were. Adam Bolton is rubbish, isn't he? Isn't Adam Bolton rubbish as a national 24-hour news channel host? What a mumbling, stuttering, bumbling fool Adam Bolton is. Revealing his hand when he's supposed to maintain objectivity and give fairness to both sides of the argument. He is absolute garbage. What does Joe Pesci think of Adam Bolton?
I'm a fucking mumbling, stuttering little fuck, you know that?
That's exactly what he is. Adam Bolton on Sky News today. And you know what's mad too? You remember Yanis Varoufakis? You remember him? Herman Munster, Greek finance minister, sold out the Greek people, told them to vote no in the referendum on the Troika bailout terms. Then he resigned and his partner in crime, Alexis Tsipras, signed the agreement with the EU, the ECB and the IMF anyway. Remember Varoufakis, who amazingly was part of the Vote Remain team last year? He was part of Vote Remain, this guy who saw the European Union destroy Greece. Well, I didn't know this, but a few weeks ago, Varoufakis was on UK television, on breakfast television, and it seems like he flip-flopped again. I didn't see this. He was sympathising with David Davis, having to negotiate with the European Union tyrants. And Varoufakis was recalling his own meetings with the EU over Greek debt.
I was a gambler, a time waster. I walked into meetings without any proposals. This was pure truth reversal. They were the ones who were trying to destroy any possibility of a negotiated settlement. They never provided us with a single A4 page of concrete proposals. We were going in there with our own proposals that were very, very well prepared with, you know, the aid of good people, mm-hmm. not necessarily from the left. You know, Norman Lamont was one of my helpers, Larry Summers from the United States, not exactly a communist cabal.
No.
And then they would turn this around. But this is what they're doing now. I mean, for Mr. Juncker to be referring to a British cabinet minister as unaccountable, this is very rich. You know, the most unaccountable commission in the history of Europe.
Yes, they fucking are. And yet he campaigned for the UK to remain in the European Union. What has happened to Herman Munster? It's some sort of Stockholm syndrome or something. Jesus Christ.
Is just turning around and spinning on its own axis.
With that in mind, then,
why is it so playground? Are they actually a little bit scared? And what would they be scared of?
Well, their greatest nightmare, just as in our case, was a mutually advantageous agreement with Britain. This sounds paradoxical.
They don't want it to go well.
They do not want an agreement that's good for Europe, as well as good for Britain.
Why?
Because if Britain gets a decent deal out of these Brexit negotiations, this is going to give ideas to the Portuguese, to the Greeks, to the Poles, to the Hungarians, to all the riffraff. From their perspective.
This Herman Munster lookalike has identified how the unelected tyrannical bureaucrats, the servants of Rockefeller, of Warburg, of Rothschild, how they really see the rest of us. This fucking idiot was one of those saying last year the UK should stay in. Tell you what I'm going to do. On that bombshell, I'm going to leave you and love you. Thanks for listening to the Richie Allen Show this Tuesday, the 28th. Sorry I wasn't here live in person, but at least I did this for you. Share this program when it's on podcast and on YouTube later on. Stay in touch with davidicke.com. Big thanks to Simon for the YouTube. You and I will do it all again tomorrow, but live between 7 and 9 UK time as usual. Until then, it's bye from me. Bye now.
Time in the world, time enough for life to unfold all the precious things love has in store. We have all the love in the world. If that's all we have, you will find we need nothing more. Every step of the way will find us with the cares of the world far behind. Time. Yeah. just for love, nothing more, nothing less. Oh.